Hello, everyone. Welcome to my November MP3. Each month, I am creating these short recordings so that I can discuss with you different aspects of energy healing, energy practice, and transformational process. Then I will post the link to this recording on my website, or I can send it to you via email if you sign up for that. This first recording, we're going to focus on the second chakra. And I will be covering the earliest stages of development for this chakra, the challenges and wounds that can occur, how they can manifest over a lifetime, and what imbalances they create, and also look at self-help tools. I want to begin by just locating this chakra with you. It is positioned 3 to 4 finger widths below the navel. And like all chakras, this chakra is energizing and vitalizing the area of the body that it's located in. So the whole pelvic area, musculature, organs, and skeletal system is being influenced by the second chakra. Now, this second chakra is complex, and it basically governs 2 different core expressions. On one side, there's merging, bonding, nurturance, sensual embodiment, connection. And this relates a lot, the chakra, to bloodline relatives, so ancestors and family. The other core expression relates to individuation. It is self-containment, boundaries, the chi center, selfhood. And oftentimes I tell clients that the phrase, I have self, comes through this chakra. So it's a taking possession of self and vital energy. Now this chakra comes online early. From infancy to 4 years old, it is very active in terms of development. We enter this world as infants and we begin to relate to the world through touch, through nurturance, through close relationship and bonding. We are connected to the other, parents, siblings, family members. And through those connections, the second chakra is awakened and we are welcomed into our bodies and into the world. About 2 or 3 come what people call the terrible twos. But from a chakra perspective, something very important is happening. The instinctual awareness of being separate is awakening. The child now begins to recognize that you are not me and I am not you. So there is a wonderful individuation process, and this is where the child takes possession of self in a very innocent and exuberant way. This is when the child says no and runs away and wants to fight over a toy. These are all signs of individuation. Wait a minute, there's a me here. So it's a fun time, a robust time, and a very important stage of development for the second chakra. So if there's a strong development around merging and a strong development around individuation, then the foundation of the second chakra is healthy and strong. Now, life is not ideal, and so challenges can happen in these earliest stages to this chakra. In terms of merging and bonding, a parent could have to go back to work. A child may become ill and have to go to the hospital and spend a great deal of time away from the parents and caregivers. A parent may not be inclined to nurture, not be able to bond well. Or there could be a family emergency in which the parents have to turn their attention from this infant and small child to what needs to be done. And likewise, in the individuation process, there can be challenges. Challenges can come because the parent is not tolerant of the individuation process. The child screaming no and running away and fighting over a toy just looks like misbehaving to this parent. And so they will convey to the child, this is not acceptable. And in doing that, they short-circuit the individuation. A parent can be clingy, overprotective, and not pull back appropriately to allow that child to individuate. That will compromise this process, and it will compromise the second. So if any of these challenges happen that I've described, either to the merging or to the individuation, the foundation of the chakra, the second chakra, is not strong. Now that said, the chakra continues to develop. The child's going through childhood and teenage years. There's a lot going on that is stimulating, awakening, and potentially strengthening the chakra. Relationships with parents continue and they can grow deeper and more bonded. Siblings can come along that are great allies and companions to this child. Grandparents may be involved in the child's life. Friends and pets. And all of these connections will build a strong second chakra in terms of merging and being nurtured and nurturing. As far as individuation goes, a child can be very successful in school, can have a strong sense of self-responsibility, can learn from parents about choices and consequences. And so this child individuates more and more. This chakra is also the chi center. So this child may become an athlete, not only use chi, but use will and power and intensity. That will strengthen this chakra. And likewise, wounds and challenges can happen as a child matures and into their teenage years. And we can extend all of this into adulthood too. So challenges to merging can happen. Let's say the family moves and leaves friends and schoolmates behind. A child can experience a betrayal from a friend. A pet can die. A grandparent can die. There could be a divorce. All of those can present wounds or challenges to the second chakra. Shocks, really. Traumas. As far as individuation goes, in terms of continuing development, if the family is strict, if the school is strict, if religious upbringing is strict, to the point that it inhibits that child from exercising their will and power in ways that are natural to them, individuation will be compromised. If a parent is invasive and overly protective and attached as the child matures and becomes a teenager and is still in the household, then that individuation process is thwarted. And there can be a lot of reaction that occurs if that happens. Because the second chakra is key to the establishment of boundaries, and if there is an invasive parent, overprotective parent, that child can recoil and put up even stronger boundaries because those boundaries are constantly being threatened. So, along those lines, it's most important to understand this. Abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse will shock, traumatize, and wound the second chakra. As I said, this chakra is the foundation of boundaries. It is from this instinct to individuate that boundaries began to form. And boundaries are maintained. Any form of abuse will violate and or obliterate those personal boundaries. And the sovereignty of that child or teenager will be lost. If the boundaries are violated, the sense of self is violated. Access to empowerment is thwarted or disrupted or obliterated. Use of will, same thing, can be disrupted, thwarted, or obliterated. When abuse happens and those boundaries are violated, from an energetic perspective, it's saying to this person, this young person, I have rights over you. You don't have rights. I have control over you. You don't have control of yourself. I have power over you. You don't have power over yourself. All of those things, and we could keep going with a list, assault the second chakra, consciousness and expression. Now, I just want to stop for a minute and talk generally about what happens with wounds to any chakra. Any wounds or violations or deep challenges to a chakra expression and consciousness will stimulate a process internally, and you know this, to create a survival strategy. The young person needs to survive. And so they will come up with a survival strategy that compensates for the wound, that helps to deny or bury the wound, to navigate around all the complexities of relationships that have been wounding. So there's many reasons why there's a need for strategies, and that will be unique to each individual, that will be unique to each situation. But strategies will be developed. And there are so many possibilities, I can't possibly give you grounded examples. But coming back to the second chakra, I want to point out the basic challenges, the basic strategies that can emerge. This is important to understand. And it does not matter if the wounds have been to the merging expression and bonding expression or to the individuation expression. Either way, here's what can manifest. A person can begin to lean way into the expression of merging and bonding. Healthy merging and bonding and connecting in touch and sexual relationships has an exchange of energy. There's inflow, there's outflow. When a person uses the second chakra, merging and bonding and connecting, in order to have a survival strategy, it's usually a one-way street. They actively pursue taking care of another person, bonding with another person, nurturing and tending to all the needs of the other person. In focusing outwardly like that, they ensure relationship. They ensure connection. Now, there are huge costs to that survival strategy. It's a great one on one level. On the other, there is huge cost. When the emphasis is on merging and bonding as a survival strategy, there's a tremendous outflow of energy and not an exchange of energy. So the outflow of energy begins to drain that second chakra. I often call this chakra, I talk to clients about this chakra, I call the chakra the bank account. It's the energy bank account of the body. It's the chi center. And when you outflow tremendous amounts of energy to other people, you are draining the chi center. And you are draining your bank account. And not only that, you are giving others access to it. And the nicest people in the world are happy to take your energy. And very manipulative people in the world are happy to take your energy. If you have a very outflowing second chakra, people can recognize you a mile away. They go, oh, the goodies are here. Look at all that energy. It just is coming right for me. It's very welcomed. And you need to be aware of that if that's what you do. The other obvious cost to having too much outflow is that you have no sense of boundaries. You would have no sense of how to create them or maintain them. They may be very elusive things to you, because your energy is used to being more open and focused on connecting. And last, one of the, I think, most costly pieces of too much outflow is what happens in your body. When that chi center is drained, when that second chakra is drained or dissipated, there's lower vitality. There's not a strong foundation physically. And all of the organs, musculature, and skeletal system in the pelvic area can be at risk, can go into a chronic condition, can go into an active disease process. A lot can happen. So give this some thought. Perhaps if you've had early wounds or wounds in your teenage years, you do this intermittently, or you outflow too much to certain people. So just give this some thought. See if this is part of what you've developed. Now, likewise, there's another strategy that can involve the individuation expression of their chakra. A person can become over-boundaried, can decide to be extremely self-contained, to the exclusion of being able to bond, to nurture, to be nurtured, to connect, to enjoy sensual embodiment, to have comfort with their sexual expression. The chakra can be so over-boundaried that all of that is limited or non-existent. When this chakra is really closed almost, or over-boundaried and restricted, what happens is that there's a reduction of circulation of energy within the body. There's an inhibition around expression of power. There's an inhibition around use of will. And there's a strong need and inclination to control. Control one's body, control oneself, and to control others. So choosing being over-boundaried as a survival strategy also comes at a tremendous cost. Now, I want to shift gears and focus now on ways that you can support, strengthen, and cultivate the second chakra and begin to mitigate some of the strong survival strategies that may be in play. Let's look at if you lean toward over-merging, over-nurturing, some things that you can do. The first thing is to place your hands over your second chakra area. It's good to put your middle fingers so that they touch at the tip, index fingers so they touch at the tip, and so your palms are resting against your body in your second chakra area in the front. Sitting like that 10 to 15 minutes a day is great. What happens is that the second chakra energy that is outflowing receives a feeling of boundary. Suddenly, there's an experience of the energy not just simply outflowing. There's a bit of a container there now. Your hands help to create a container. And that can be very comforting. Your hands will also inflow energy very gently into your second chakra. You don't have to make that happen. It will just happen. And then that chakra begins to become comfortable with inflowing energy. You will probably feel that in your pelvic area. You can feel it in your sacrum. You can feel this foundation of your body grow stronger. So that's a great practice, very simple. You can monitor your outflow. That's another great exercise and self-help tool. Notice day to day. Oh, wow, I'm really spending a lot of time and energy focused on this other person, what they need, what I can do for them. Okay, I'm not talking about your small children, although you may overdo it there. I'm not talking about someone who's ill, who needs some attention and really requires it. I'm talking about the healthy, able-bodied adults around you, the teenagers who are fully capable of handling things, and even the young children who need to step it up a little bit in terms of self-responsibility. Notice that you extend a lot of energy to them. Become aware. It's just a process of waking up. Keep a little journal about it. Then talk about boundaries with people. Read about boundaries. Consider what they are. Just get used to using that word and having that. And this may seem very elementary to some of you, but it's very important. Most people don't recognize that they need a boundary until a person has crossed a boundary. Then there's a big ouch. Uh-oh, something is hurt now. And then they begin to talk about boundaries. But when you really consider boundaries, it's best to be proactive. So really learn about them so you can establish them ahead of time. And the other thing is, watch how many times you say yes when you'd like to say no. A person who overmerges and overbonds and overnurtures needs to say no. Needs to ask, what's in it for me? And you need to find out for real, what's in it for you? And if you're not getting something from the yes, the thing you're about to do, you probably don't need to do it at all. So those are start points. Now let's look at a person who is over-boundaried. If you're over-boundaried, here are the start points. Basically, you want to soften your boundaries. And that can begin first by connecting with your physical body. Merging happens, and connecting happens not only with people, but it happens with your body. It happens with letting go and opening up in meditation. It happens when you're walking through the forest and you just feel your energy expand and your body relax. That is also about the second chakra expression of merging. So turn on some music if you like music. Stand up in your house and let the music enter your body. You will be surrendering a boundary. You will be in an act of merging. And you can dance or you can sway. Just let the music into your body. If you've always wanted a pet, go get a pet. Have a little being with you who is nonverbal and who enjoys touch and who's happy to see you and who's connected to you. That will be incredibly helpful to soften your boundaries and sense of controlling yourself. This is a little beyond self-help, but really important. Find a body worker that you trust and ask this person to begin to find the armor and the control patterns in your body so that you can come into dialogue with these. You can come into dialogue with the places in your body that have become rigid or closed down or defensive. That's really important. And last, I would suggest this. Take time to honor your history and the events of your life that have created the wounds and challenges. Write about it, think about it. And when emotion rises up in you about it, put your hand over your heart chakra and let the emotion just flow through your body. Don't stop it. That will soften all of the armoring. That will soften the second chakra and let you feel and embody your experience. And you can do it, you know, once a week. And it will be so incredibly helpful. So we could continue to talk about the second chakra for a very long time, but I'm going to stop now. I may pick up threads of this in a upcoming MP3. I hope this has been helpful to you. I hope this has been clarifying or helped you to reframe some of your experiences. And as always, I invite you to email me if you have any questions. I'm happy to answer. Blessings to you. Bye for now.